This is Burning Leaves by Rainy Lemons, read by Embroiderama. Leaves are burning in Central Park. It's the first thing he knows and the thing that he holds as he slip-slides back and forth, in and out of the black. He doesn't know much, who he is, where he is. The smell on the wind, warm and earthen, rich and fragrant, the way that he intimately knows burning isn't. What happened to him, why and how he came to be lying face down on the damp ground. This he doesn't know, and for now it seems unimportant, even if he suspects that it is. Name. Location. Half of alert and oriented, he knows from 100 bedside interviews held behind thin curtains at more hospitals than he can count. Can you tell me your name? Hector. Dave. William. Dean. His name is Dean. Do you know where you are? Boise and River West and McAllen, Texas before now? Manhattan. Central Park. Can you tell me the date, Dean? Do you know why you're here? He doesn't know the when. He doesn't know the why. As he drifts closer to the black, then back out of it, Dean thinks that he should know these things, but he doesn't, and he can't think. So he draws a breath in through his nose, smells drying grass, wet concrete, and burning leaves. The failure of cognitive function is unspooling him, pulling him like a thread and threatening to send him far away into the shivering nothingness looming before him. But sensation steadies him, keeps him on the ground, in the grass, keeps him breathing as he fills his lungs again and again, just to keep the smell of autumnal fires in his nose. Dean opens his eyes, sees nothing but a blur of yellow, orange, and brown, with something murky and red, a bleeding halo just on the left of his vision. He blinks, causes the red tinge to expand until it's all that he sees, and he raises his hand, puts his knuckles to his eyes to rub. His eyes start to sting, the burn of the salt he can smell on his fingers, and his vision swims as tears come. Dean closes his eyes, breathes in. Smoke. Leaves. The sharpness of a chill that's not quite winter, but still so clear and beguilingly clean. It calms him, takes him back 10 years or 15. He doesn't really know anymore. Isn't sure that he'd know on a day when he could think clearly, but back he goes, and Sam's there. So earnest. So serious and shy and goddamn smart with his books piled at his feet and his back against an oak, dropping vibrant leaves down around him like an offering from heaven. Sam reading with half a bologna sandwich and an orange forgotten next to borrowed rakes while Dean lies back next to their leaf pile and stares up at the perfectly blue sky. What you reading, Sammy?
Milton.
Crap, that's a little heavy for a Saturday. I thought you had to read Grapes of Wrath for school.
Steinbeck sucks, and hell's more interesting.
Dean shudders in the here and now. He pushes himself up, shakes his head to clear it, and regrets it instantly. The earth shifts, hard, and bile rises. Stings his throat, his nasal passages when he gasps, and he has just barely enough thought to turn to his left side as he starts to vomit. He smells the sourness of milk curdled to cottage cheese in his gut, and he heaves again, feels his abdomen push back to nearly his spine. 4, 5, 6 times until it quits, and he lies there, gasping and staring at the wet, slick chunks of its puke glistening on golden red leaves. He rolls away from the sight, spits to clear the sour taste from his mouth, and rises shakily, carefully, to his knees. Dean kneels, lost and wavering, head bowed in uncertain, unthinking penitence beneath the golden shafts of late autumn sunlight. Forgive me, Sam, he thinks, and knows that thoughts of hell, of burning and pain, of desperate loneliness and hopelessness drive the plea even if he can't quite grasp the reason for his aching shame. He just knows that it should have been him. Him doing what? Him suffering what? Dean doesn't really know.
but he thinks that it was his place, his torment, and he allowed his brother to take it from him, to take it from the world that goes on day after day, busy and slow and fast and mindless, without any knowledge or regard for the young boy who had willingly gone so far into the black to save it. Sam, oh God, he thinks, and his eyes are still stinging with tears, even if it's not salt-stained fingers that keeps them working now. Dean puts a hand to his head, sees how pale and thin his fingers look, and how they come back red and slick with blood. He stands, glances down at his feet to find more blood, darkening the fading grass and scattered leaves where he'd lain. He walks, watches his boots tramp down on the brightly colored leaves, wonders if all the world is carpeted with them now, and wonders where Sam is, wonders if he's remembering the sight and the feel of the land locked in autumn, and if he has a moment to remember anything bright and beautiful and good at all. He prays that he can, prays to something maybe larger than God, larger and grander than this unknown being that's brought his family to this broken place where he's left blood behind him on the autumn-colored ground next to a puddle of his own vomit. When he can, when his vision stops swimming and his ears aren't ringing quite so loudly, Dean raises his head, looks out on Central Park as he moves through it. New York moves with him, near and far on the cement paths, winding through the yellow and gold splendor, and further out on the streets and in the high-rises. The city moves as he moves, ignorant of him and perhaps uncaring. No one stops him, though a few look, take in his bleeding scalp, and turn away again. Maybe, he thinks, it's the remnants of his tears that causes them to avert their gaze. Maybe it's the loneliness and the want, the loss and the aching regret. Maybe they can see the name his lips aren't forming and can't look upon the pain of everything he's lost. Dean leaves the quiet of the area where he'd come awake and moves through a throng of people, all of them looking ahead as if God or his angels have touched down, and Dean knows that it's not so, knows that such divine appearances come with terror and bloodshed and heartbreak, but they look ahead with pleased wonder and gentle smiles, and as he moves among them, he looks too, sees a flash of long, supple limbs, a flutter of white, and he stops, want surging up from nowhere as he remembers warm arms pulling him down to bed, his bed, their bed, and holding him. It's not her, she's not her, but she stills him for a moment nonetheless. She makes no sense, and Dean knows he needs to look harder to understand what he's seeing. But he's too captivated for a moment to make sense of the cameras and the wires, the sound of music beating out from speakers, or the endless sea of lights trying to color the world better than nature has already done. Leaves fall from overhead, and a ballerina turns beneath them. She draws up upon her strong toes, arms spread, head held high and regal like a queen, and she moves like nothing else on earth. Bits of yellow and orange and red, maple and oak and brilliant sumac fluttering down around her. Dean sees her, and then he doesn't, sees instead another long-legged beauty among the leaves, this one laughing madly as her son kicks them at her, sees that these leaves are dry and brown, prime for burning. She moves as gracefully as the ballerina as she catches Ben around the middle and tackles him until they go down on the ground, giggling and shouting and calling for him to referee because, "Mom's cheating, Dean!" "It's not called cheating when you're the mom," Lisa replies. "Right, Dean?" "Uh-uh, I'm not getting in the middle of this one," he says. And he's closer to them now, the scent of them, of the leaves filling his nose. Soap, shampoo, and boy, and then delicately spiced perfume in her long, soft hair, mingled with earth and dirt and clean air, and Ben's got his arms around him, is trying to pull him down. He can't get him, and Dean's laughing a little, ruffling his hair until Lisa gets him by the ankle, and then they're all down in the leaves, and they're ganging up on him, leaves in his hair and down his shirt, and the dull red throb of agony slides down from his heart, retreating to a quieter, more somber place than this unexpected joy that he's found. Lisa, Dean thinks, or maybe he says it, because the woman closest to him turns like he's just said her name, her full lips open, and she starts to say what he guesses is going to be, "Do I know you?" But then she sees him, really sees him, and is moving closer, large, lovely dark eyes widening, and a hand reaching toward his forehead. "You're hurt," she says, and Dean thinks she sounds sad at that, like it doesn't matter that she doesn't know him, like she's just generally dismayed to see a wounded thing standing broken and lost before her, and she reaches out to him again, her hand going for his, and Dean realizes that she wants to take it, that he wants to fall into the embrace she isn't offering and beg for her to take him home, home to Lisa, home to Ben, to Sam, and bright autumn days in the home that never was. A cry goes up. "There he is!" And Dean flinches involuntarily, immediately shrinking away from the thought of being singled out. But it's not him. No one but the kind woman sees him. And the crowd is surging forward. Cameras are flashing. And people are shouting and calling out, "Brad, over here! Hey, look this way!" And Dean looks, glances as the crowd moves, taking the woman away from him and closer to Brad, motherfucking Pitt, and his jaw works for a moment. He blinks, glances at the ballerina off her toes now, the leaves still falling gently from the netting high over her head as she blushes and offers her hand to some actor who doesn't have an ounce of the grace that she possesses. He realizes that he stumbled upon something being filmed, and he turns away, finding nothing magical in it now, finds nothing close to the loveliness of lost memories of Lisa, smiling down at him as they lie upon a bed of autumn leaves. Ben groaning, "Mom," as she leans in and presses one soft, chaste kiss to Dean's lips. Dean heads towards the smell of burning leaves, letting it lead him, like he's nothing more than a dog chasing the scent of something good and safe and needed. He leaves the crowd and the noise and the clip-flash of stuttering cameras behind him, leaves the people and the path, and heads into the darkness and the quiet, into the rougher, less beautiful area of the park, where little bridges leave dark underpasses, and he sees the quiet wariness of homeless in mismatched clothes taking refuge from the wind that isn't so cold and the night that has yet to arrive. The first fire he finds is paper, sticks and boards and newspapers. The second and third more of the same. Under the last bridge, at the last fire, he at last smells the heady scent of leaves mingled with wood in a metal trash can. A boy stands next to the dented can, hands held over the fire and his hair's damp, his faded flannel dripping as he stands, shaggy head bowed, as he tries to warm and dry himself over the flames. Dean sucks in a breath and holds it until he's seeing stars, until he's sure that he's going to drop to the ground, never to get up again, sees again the boy he lost so long ago, the boy with his books and his bologna on white bread, kicking absently at him as Dean tries to get his attention. Watches him get up and rake and rake and rake as Dean lights the leaves on fire under the careful direction of the old woman who has paid them $40 cash money and the promise of chipped beef on toast with blueberry pie for dessert. Sees the wind pick up suddenly and Sam standing with his rake, his hair blowing back as sparks of burning leaves shift toward him. Sees the leaves Sam's raking catch and Sam in the middle of it. Hears the old woman yell at them both to stop, yells that they're both on fire now, and he is, his jeans are burning and his eyes are stinging, but Sammy's in the thick of it, and Sammy's going to burn, and he's looking over at him, eyes so red, so scared, and so damn sad. "It's okay, Dean," I got this. It's okay. And Sam's falling. He's falling. And it's so far down. So goddamn final. But then they're both wet. They're both pelted with the frigid offerings of a garden hose. And Sam stands there, young again, shivering suddenly and stamping in the wet leaves. And Dean's so fucking relieved, so fucking terrified that he yells at Sam, catches him by the shoulder, and nearly shakes him, but instead hugs him until the kid's coughing that he can't breathe. He can't breathe, Dean. Dean! The boy is gone. The water's gone. And the child in front of the fire in the trash can backs up, looks at him with startled blue eyes. And Dean sees that it's not a young boy at all, but a girl. Sees that she's turning and running away because someone's shouting at him. Someone's running at him from behind, and he turns. Dean! Sam. Oh, fucking God, Sam. Dean stumbles as he tries to go to him, falls into the burning can, and the flames are on him again, and he's burning. There's no leaves to smell this time, nothing but the scorch of his jeans and the heat of it on his palms, and he thinks, yes, this is what fire is supposed to be like. The scent of burning flesh will come soon if he waits for it. And he does. He waits. It doesn't come because he's being pulled, and hands are beating at him. A voice is cursing him lightly with no malice, no fear, or panic. In fact, there's no emotion at all. Just words coming from a mouth. Just sounds coming from a thing that has no soul, and Dean knows. He remembers. There is no home. There is no Sam. There's just this thing with his face, and his arms, and his smell. This tall bundle of muscle and bone and flesh that used to hold his brother's soul, and does no more. Take me home, he tells the thing that isn't Sam. Take me home. But there is no home, not for him, not for them. Lisa and Ben are gone. Sam's gone. All of the bright autumn days are gone, and Dean knows of no place that he can call home. Not now. Not anymore. That was Burning Leaves by Rainy Lemons, read by Embroiderama.